2 weeks ago, I shared on when we speak about worship and the prophetic, and that's what we're dealing with now, is we're speaking about it's something that comes from your mouth. When you worship, you say something. And we talked about having a mouthful of heaven. And we looked at Isaiah 6, where the angels, Isaiah encountered the angels in the heavenly realm, in the throne room, and they were singing, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." That is heaven in your mouth. They singing heaven in your mouth. And we're going to look at the power of worship to bring breakthrough. So just as an introduction, I'm going to go to a scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. So if you have your Bible, please bring your Bibles to church. That is, you can go there quickly, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. It's just one scripture. It's also up there, so make a note. It says this: "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then the cool stuff. Miracles is supposed to happen in church." Who of you know that? Gifts of healing, that's supposed to happen in church. There should be people that help back out chairs and serve, like Francois and Monica there at the back, and the people that are doing the welcoming, and J.A., where's J.A.? He's just the ultimate. There should be people like that. There's administrators like Lizette. She's amazing. In various kinds of tongues. In other words, people speaking in tongues. So Paul is writing through the church in Corinthians, and he's saying, I want you to have this thing first. You must focus on these things. The first one is, there should be an apostle in the house. And we're not going to look at, okay, now Luke's the apostle and Benricu or Paula is the apostle. We're just going to focus on what is the apostolic. Because if Paul says that is the most important thing for the church, then obviously we need to take that thing as the most important thing. So what is the apostolic? Who of you have heard of the word apostolic? Okay? It's a new word today. Okay? In your exam, you're writing, some of you are writing, I think, as also opstel hierdie week. So jy skryf iets oor die apostel. Okay, you're going to put that in your exam. So apostolic means Jesus, Hebrews 3 speaks about Jesus being the high apostle. Apostolic means is Jesus was sent from heaven, and when he arrived here on earth, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that is the heart of the apostle. Jesus was saying, I'm coming from a different world, and I'm bringing my world to this place, and you're going to encounter my world. So apostle is somebody that can take heaven, bring it to earth, and change and transform culture. Some of you are sitting in school. Some of you are at the NMU campus. Some of you are in the business sphere. God's calling you to all of us to be apostolic. We must take heaven and we must bring it into the place where we have influence. That's apostolic. That's what the church should be. We're not here for numbers. It's great that we have so many people coming to the evening service, but we're not here for numbers. If we're not changing something, we're not being apostolic. And Paul says, you need to be apostolic. So we're going to look at how we do that. Okay, the second one, he says, it's the prophetic. Who of you have heard of prophets? Okay, we've heard of prophets. Okay, now somebody that example that's a prophet is our senior pastor in Stellenbosch. He's very prophetic. I remember the first time Angus Buchan came, he was very unknown. He just wrote a book, didn't have his movie out, very unknown guy. He called him up on stage and said, hey, this guy's gonna fill stadiums. And I was like, yo, whatever. Hiribur. How is he gonna fill stadiums? But then 2 years down the line, he filled stadiums. He's in that office of being a prophet. He was speaking stuff. Other friend of mine, they were struggling with having babies. 6 years or 7 years, Fred walked into her office, Pastor Fred, and she said, by next year this time, you're going to be pregnant. Exactly the same day that next year, she was pregnant. Exactly that's when they conceived the baby. How amazing is that? So that's somebody that moves in the prophetic. So the prophetic has to do with speaking or expressing what is happening in heaven. Speaking God's words. But it can even be a dance. Who of you are creatives? Yeah, who of you love dancing? Okay, even a guitar or a drum solo, that can be very prophetic. We had a guy here, he was a pastor in a church, he said one of the most amazing meetings they had was a friend said, "Hey, I just feel I need to do this." And he stood up on a chair and he said, "I'm just going to wave for the angels." So he stood up in his chair. Everybody thought, "Wow, that's weird. This guy's standing up and he's waving for the angels." But the moment he did that, in other words, he felt that it was happening in heaven. He's going to bring that down to earth. So he just welcomed the angels. Nobody could see the angels. But when he did that, a presence of God came into the room and nobody could stand. That's bringing heaven down to earth. You know, if God comes into this room, none of us would be able to stand. Andrew Murray, when he was in Worcester, he walked into a youth meeting and everybody was lying on the ground. He said, "Hey, this is chaos, this is chaos." And then afterwards he heard the story. Somebody was bringing a song, and through that song, heaven came down into this place, and a roaring wind came, thunderous wind came from the back, and the whole youth meeting was just floored. Everybody was just not listening to their pastor because it was just so. So that's the prophetic. So it'd be lovely if that happens tonight. Eh? So Paul says that is the two things that you should build your church on. And the third one is being a teacher. So in other words, those people that grapple with the word, not that the apostles can't teach or the prophets can't teach, but the teacher should be in the third place. Okay? Usually we put them on the top. The teacher should be in the third place. Okay, so go and do your research. Go and read your Bible. And be diligent and stewards of what I'm saying now. So it starts with the apostle. It starts, then second, it's the prophetic. And then third is the teacher. Okay, and then all the other cool stuff follows up on that. So why do I start with that? The apostle and the prophet works from heaven downwards. The teacher says, okay, what is in the word? I'm going to communicate from the word. He's going to take Matthew and he's going to run through Matthew and he's going to explain to you what the gospel of Matthew means. The prophet's going to come and say, "I feel we must focus on that last chapter of Matthew." That's a prophet's job. But the teacher's going to go through systematically through it. So the prophet gives you that prophetic edge. But both of them works from heaven to earth. And a door into heaven, a door or a key to bring heaven down to earth, because that is what the church should be built on, is worship, and that's what you experience now. The key to opening heaven's door for God's presence to enter into this room is worship. Psalm 22 verse 3 says this, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. It brings his throne to your sphere of influence. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." It says it brings his throne to your sphere of influence. So this is what happens. And you must go and try this out. Okay, worship is like technology. It's like amazing technology. And we don't worship God just to get something from him. We worship him because he is God. So don't try and get something from him. But worship works. If you don't know what to do, just worship. Okay, so what happens is when we worship, God's like, this is his throne. God is, he has a makeshift throne. And he is always looking where people are gathering and praising him. So now, here in Taninalisa, Stabe Pola, so they gathered yesterday in for Heritage Braaidag, and now they start to worship. And God's like, "Wow, these people are praising me. I'm going to inhabit their praises. I'm going to put my throne down in Taninalisa Ace." There, right there. And God comes to that house. What happens? His authority in everything that pertains to his kingdom enters that house. So now Lodewijk here, he's playing for the SVD, Arende and Daryl, he's his physio. They are worshiping God there in the rugby field. And God's like, "Whoa, these guys are praising me. I'm going to put my throne, because I inhabit the praises of my people. I'm going to put my throne right there." And he sits on the throne. The whole rule of God. And the Eagles win the Curry Cup right there. No, man. Apparently in the Welsh revival, there was a rugby match being played, and because of people worshiping God in the stands, some of the worship songs or the songs that they still sing in the Welsh when the Welsh play rugby, they're actually worship songs from that time. The presence of God came so strong on that field that they stopped the rugby game. That could happen. People were more interested in obeying God than playing rugby. Imagine that. Because that is what heaven does, and that's where we should praise and worship God in order to bring heaven down to earth. Because God is waiting for you to worship Him so He can make His throne in your room, in your school, in wherever. He's going to go, okay, I'm going to establish my throne, my rule, my kingdom. And His kingdom is amazing. There's a story, and I'm not going to go into too much detail. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 1 to 31. And I want all of you to go and read this. Okay, Luke was talking about leadership and about forgiving leadership and submitting to leadership. You need to go and do this. Okay, write down 2 Chronicles 20 verse 1 to 31. You're going to all read it. Jehoshaphat, cool name, eh? Jehoshaphat, he was a king. And in 20 verse 3, it speaks of him being afraid because there was an army marching against Israel, against Judah. He was afraid. So he called everyone together and he said, hey God, are you not going to destroy us through this army? And he goes on and goes on. He says in verse 12, for we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then he called everybody together. He's like, if you're an infant, if you're a baby, if you're a grandmother, if you're a grandfather, I'm going to call you all because we need to now tackle this thing in the spirit. We're going to pray. And then they prayed. And then the spirit of the Lord, like we said, when we praise God, the presence of God comes. The spirit of the Lord came upon a guy called Jahaziel. Nice name for your son one day, okay? Jehoshaphat, one son, Jahaziel, the other son. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the... And then he explains to them exactly what they need to do. And he tells them, stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And then this crazy part. This is another key in how to worship God. So now they've worshipped God, they've prayed, God descended upon them, and this prophet spoke, and he said, hey, God's saying, you've already won. Just stand your ground. And on that word, Jehoshaphat, he and the whole Judah, they come together and they say, thank you, and they worship God. They go crazy. We have won the battle. But us, looking from the outside, we're like, why do they go crazy? They haven't even gone to battle. And that's what we as Christians can enter into, where we can claim the victory before the victory is even fought. Amen. So if we are in Jesus, the victory is already taken care of. It's not like we're going to lose, but we need to claim the victory for ourselves. And how do they do it? How should we do it? We should worship God, praise and worship. We should say, Jesus, we know that you say that we are more than conquerors, Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. We're not only victorious, we are more than conquerors. Over every problem, relational problem, financial problem, school problem, Charlotte problem in America, fees must fall. We are victorious, but we must claim that victory through actually in faith worship before we see the victory. So now, Jehoshaphat is like, wow, this is amazing. We have this victory. I'm going to send out the army. But I'm not going to send them out like we usually do. I'm going to send the worshipers in front. And this is what they're going to sing. They're going to say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. It's crazy. So now here's a, imagine you on the other side. Here's an army marching towards you, and there's some people singing in the front. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. It seems like they want to hug you. It's weird. But they understood the power of worshiping God, the power of praising God. They understood that when they worship and praise God, God's going to come and he's going to put his throne right there in the middle of the battleground. And what's going to happen? God's going to claim the victory. And exactly that happened. And then you see in verse 22, and when they began to sing and praise, so go to Chronicles 20, verse 22. Too many twos. Okay, remember that. Go and write it down, highlight this. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of and all the tribes, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Tyre, they all helped to destroy one another. So when they started praising and worshiping, God's Spirit came and confused them in such a way that they started killing each other. And that's what happens when we praise and worship, when we understand we must bring heaven to earth. We bring confusion in the camp of the enemy. Like Luke was saying, this town is infested with drugs. This town is infested with alcohol. This town has so many bad things about it. But it's not a bad town when heaven invades it. God wants to take everything out. But he's looking for a people who stand in the gap, and he's especially just worshiping him. Some of us need to take our guitars and worship in front of the shebeens where people get their drugs from. Because we're just going to bring the glory of God down. Thinking like, I don't need drugs. This is amazing. Amen. Great. Let's stand.